Hey, now recording. Carrie, we good? Great. So we're in our closed meeting here on the 26th of March, 2018. Mr. Don Barnett, go ahead.
Real quick, we just wanted to make sure to make a statement at the beginning for the record that the purpose of this being a closed session, as we've discussed privately prior to this meeting, is that the topic at hand involves a situation that may ultimately end up in litigation, which is why we feel it's justified for a closed session. No, go ahead.
And we need recommendations and action.
Okay. Please.
All right. So I think, as Bob indicated, yeah, we're anxious. We, you know, Bob and I have been negotiating with Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. I mean, this has a story that goes back 4 years, kind of a thing. And we're kind of at a crossroads. And so we're coming to the board to say, you know, we think that there's a direction that we ought to take with these negotiations, because we believe that, Wolf Creek Irrigation Company now has become unreasonable and is operating in bad faith. And therefore, there's a certain course of action that we think we're going to recommend, but we're looking to the board members to tell us such. So just very quickly, and Jim, I can handle this however you do. You want to stop and do questions along the way? Do you want me to fly through this and then do questions? It's totally up to you guys.
It's up to the board.
Fly.
Okay. I'll fly through this.
So Mark, are you okay with flying?
Yeah.
To kind of guide, I'll give you a background, talk about the district's water rights, talk about water usage and needs, because that tells you how much mitigation you need, talk about the Cobeg well, then talk about Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's water rights briefly, hence why we need mitigation. Then the district shares that we've acquired in Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, and then the two paths. One's called mitigation, the other's a change application path. Talk about the prior negotiations, and then what we believe to be Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's most recent bad faith proposal. Talk about the law, the shareholders' rights statute, Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's amended bylaws, and then look for direction. That's where this kind of leading this discussion to, so I'll just fly into it. Just briefly, district's water rights. So we have, as a district, three stock watering rights that Cobeg converted long ago to use at the ski resort. More recently, we converted them to municipal use, and then we acquired title to those a year ago. That's 13.55 acre feet, but that is only from the Pizzle Springs, is where that water right's allowed. The nice thing about this water right is that it is not restricted as to return flows, and it's not restricted as to usage only in Weber County. So, for example, both the water rights held by the district and Summit on Weber Basin leases have restrictions as to outside usage in Weber in Cache County. These do not. And so by coupling these together with the Summit water rights and your other water rights, we're able to cover outdoor usage to a limited extent in Cache Valley. The other water rights held by the district right now are three contracts with Weber Basin that have been various exchange applications over the years. And what's critical is that two of these water rights allow for pumpage from the Cobeg well. And those attack a total 130 acre feet between those two, for a total of 147.55 acre feet is the district's water rights. Again, this is independent of Summit. What's critical for you guys to know is that then often, and in our discussions with Wolf Creek, they really confuse this issue, but Summit has an exchange application approved for 400 acre feet. Only 200 acre feet of that's presently mitigated for, but that's independent of the district's water rights. I mean, we're looking, ultimately it's a combined package, but these guys confuse the Summit and the district water rights. Critical on the district's water rights is today there is no mitigation requirement of the district's water rights. So we could today pump the Cobeg well without mitigating. Now, that would create controversy. I mean, Wolf Creek Irrigation Company has a senior priority water right, and so then we'd be in conflict, but we have the right to do it today. So we're willing to negotiate, but we're not under any state engineer restriction today. So then talk briefly about water usage. Thankfully, we have good data for the year 2017. This has been a real issue for us because we're trying to make projections, and yet we don't know what our usages have been. I would highlight that September of this year, the Hidden Lake well was off during much of the month of September. So that value is not correct as far as future. I mean, it's an accurate value, but in future years, that's not going to be the right number because we'll be using the Hidden Lake well. But because of the drilling of the Bloomington well, we needed to be off. But Paul and I have talked about this. The amount of water hauled wasn't substantial, and we kind of made it up with August and October amounts. So I think in total, it's a good number, but this water usage is where we are. So in total, we're looking at, and this is, of course, very limited summit usage. There's some construction usage, but this is kind of a picture of what I'll call old district or district proper, is about 24 acre feet, but three of that was dumped into Cache Valley, so actual usage was 21 acre feet. That 3 acre feet should have been 7 acre feet plus this year, except we were able to convince the state engineer we didn't need to mitigate for the entire year. And so that number would go up if we were mitigating, except of course we're working on Cache County proper mitigation, so then that 3 acre feet would go away. So the real number you need to focus on is about 21 acre feet for district proper.
Can I ask a question about this?
You bet.
Do we have any idea how much of that water volume from 2017, particularly in summer months, came as a result of well drilling activities? Because they were using hidden lake well water for that, weren't they?
They weren't.
Okay. Where was the water coming from for that?
Down the valley.
Down the valley? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
So, the other thing is in the negotiations that we're having with Wolf Creek Irrigation Company is looking at the 7 month period, which would be the irrigation season. The water usage during the 7 month period is 9 acre feet. And there's also a negotiating item where we look at the 4 month period, which is just the time when Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's water rights not whole, when there might be a priority call, and that's 5 acre feet. The numbers that we're looking at in our negotiations, if we were to go the change application route, is maybe we get 45 acre feet during the 7 month period, or alternatively, if we go the 4 month period, 20 acre feet. So if you look
at 25.
Take that again.
What's that?
I just said 25 if we push it.
Yeah, 25 is, and we'll get there, is probably what I think is now the correct number based on new data from Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. But the bottom line is, you can look at it, is our current usage is notably below what we're negotiating for as far as mitigation, whether we do the 7 month period or the 4 month period, regardless as to the route. And the reason why that this is critical is the development agreement between the district and Summit calls for the district acquiring mitigation for Summit's phase one of the first 154 ERUs. I strenuously objected to this requirement, but nonetheless the district agreed to it, and I haven't slept well ever since, because we're not going to buy another 15 shares or whatever from Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. So how are we, the district, going to fulfill our obligation to Summit? The agreement, as I understand it from the development agreement, is we, the district, are obligated to acquire, and Summit pays for that mitigation. And so you can see from these numbers, and this is one of those things we keep just in this room because it would absolutely torpedo our negotiations with Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, is that about 60% of this water will go to Summit. And they have strenuous, I mean, they keep trying to put into our discussions and agreements, hey, none of this water can go to Summit, or they try and restrict the amount going to Summit. And we just say, look, we're obligated to take care of the district proper first, not only current district, but future growth within what I'll call proper district, but anything in excess is available for Summit. And like I say, my quick analysis is maybe 60% goes to Summit. And if that's the case, we meet that obligation to Summit.
Are you characterizing phase one as Summit or district?
Phase one and Summit. Well, all of present district and future district, as well as phase one of Summit, we may be able to meet that if negotiations go correctly with us. And
yeah.
But
phase,
again,
phase one is district right now. It's been annexed. They're turning fee simple title over to individuals that are becoming our customers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that's why we're trying to keep that off the table. But amongst us,
yeah,
we know about it. But,
yeah,
but those guys at Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, particularly the contention that we're going to be talking about, is,
yeah,
they clearly want us to, they want to use us as a pawn in their fight against Summit, and we're vigorously opposing that, and so that's why this is critical for you guys to understand,
yes,
why we're trying to be aggressive, is we have an obligation that we're trying to fulfill, and we might be able to fulfill it just in this one swoop if things go right in our discussions.
This is Gary. Can I just ask a quick question? Right now, mitigation includes, we're dumping water over the side of the hill into Cache County. When you say mitigation, you don't mean pump it and do something with it. You mean just buy water rights and give them to Wolf Creek, is that right?
Yeah, so the way that, so what happens right now is with when Summit filed its application for 400 acre feet and ultimately went to hearing, then the state engineer put two requirements on the Summit water right. The first was relative to Wolf Creek side, so well, relative to the Weber Basin side. They said that Summit needs to mitigate the Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, that they will be the first impacted as Summit produces the Hidden Lake or the Bloomington Wells, and therefore Summit needs to provide mitigation. So then Summit went out and developed and entered into a settlement agreement with the Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, acquired shares, and said, we will forego the usage of those shares, and we will also build a 20-acre-foot storage reservoir. And after we've done that, then that allows us to pump up to 200 acre feet per year from the Hidden Lake Well. So that's the Summit settlement agreement. The order of the state engineer also said that 30% of the water that you're pumping from the Hidden Lake Well is water that was destined to discharge in Cache Valley, and therefore you need to mitigate the Cache Valley water users for that 30%. And you can do it one of two ways. You can enter into a long-term mitigation plan in Cache Valley, which we're working on right now, but that's not done. And in the interim, you can just dump water. So right now, we're obligated when water rights are in call in Cache Valley to dump 30% off the side of the hill. And so that's where last year we would have dumped 7, but we were able to convince the state engineer that because of things were so wet last year, that there was no reason for a priority call, and so we didn't need to begin dumping until about June as far as water rights were concerned.
So Don, I hear two things coming from you, and in my mind it's conflicting. Number one, the discussion has always been that Summit was going to build Porcupine Reservoir.
Acquire shares. They have.
Okay, and that took care of the mitigation for the 154.
No, different. So, no. The development agreement says that the district needs to find mitigation for the 154. We're focused on Weber County because Summit was focused on finding it in Cache County. Remember, we got two sides of the mountain we got to mitigate for, and right now all of these discussions. Cache County is kind of a side discussion. But Summit has already acquired 120 acre feet of shares in Porcupine Reservoir, and they have an option on another 80 shares. And we have a meeting a week from today where we're meeting with the irrigators in Cache County, and we're trying to develop a plan as to how these shares will be used for mitigation for the portion that's in Cache County.
So stop there. Because still, it sounds conflicted to me, based upon my conversations with Summit heretofore, with the prior management. And that was, I was always left with the clear impression that the 20 acre feet that they were going to do in that, or offer in that area, would offset the 30% that we're dumping. And you're saying, I mean, I don't care.
It will.
Okay, so that's what they offered, regardless of what the development agreement said.
So Summit is trying to get rid of the dumping obligation and also provide for future wells in Cache County, the mitigation that will be just Cache County wells. But we still have the issue of the 154 and the mitigation in Weber County. And that's an obligation that I understand. You remember, Mark and I were thrown out of the room by Greg Morrow because we objected to this.
Well, but I guess
what so I can't tell you.
I get what you're saying, but in reality, the understanding that I've been left with is that they were going to mitigate in cash for the 154 with the 20 acre feet that they had acquired.
120 acre feet, yes, in cash.
In cash.
But this is Weber.
But okay.
See, we got a 70% of what's hidden, pumped
okay,
out of
so
Hidden Lake Well, we have to mitigate for in Weber County, and 30% in Cache County.
So you're okay. So that's where I had my wires crossed, because they are taking care of the dumping, but we still have to mitigate because of the call.
Right. And remember, at the time that this negotiation was occurring, the district did not own any shares, and so we were trying to figure out how are we going to mitigate for district proper, as well as this future obligation, and yet Summit, in its settlement agreement, had a contract for 15 shares, but basically what Summit was saying is on phase one, we're gonna hold our shares for phase three, four, and five, and you guys need to figure out how to cover us on phase one. And that's what I understand was agreed to.
That hasn't been discussed of late, you know, now that you've mentioned it, I'm sure that now it's gonna be on the table again. But that hasn't, you know, that was back in the day of old, what's his name?
Grandma.
No. Who was?
Paul Strange.
Paul Strange. That was Paul Strange.
No, it was post-Paul Strange. This is Greg Morrow standing on the table and muting Mark Anderson and saying you can't talk to your attorney because he was objecting to this.
Yeah, well, it was Paul Strange. It was Paul Strange that was pitching it to me. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So that was because we haven't, I guess it's based upon the fact that they do have Wolf Creek shares right now, that the mitigation was handled for what's been going on heretofore.
Oh, absolutely. But long-term in the development agreement, we, the district, have this obligation to Summit.
Yeah.
Again, we have to do the work. We have to find the water. Summit pays for it. And that was kind of, as I understand, the compromise. I mean, we could dig it out again, but that's what was instructed. So Bob and I have been working anxiously for the last couple of years trying to fulfill that obligation to Summit in these negotiations. And so, for example, when I write down time expended in Wolf Creek negotiations, I write down 40% for the district and 60% for Summit. Because that's, I mean, we don't know exactly how the numbers are going to come out, but that's where we're projecting is 60% of what we're talking about is to meet our obligation to Summit.
Okay.
Without talking about that publicly, because like I say, it would just kill our negotiations with Wolf Creek.
And just to be clear, this is independent of our settlement agreement as Summit with Wolf Creek Irrigation.
That's
so
right.
the 15 shares that were purchased plus the obligation to build the 20-acre-foot storage by 2021 plus the future obligation for another 15 shares plus 20-acre-feet or 40-acre-feet.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a district where you have your 200-acre-feet of mitigation, and then you'd have an additional 60% of whatever we get here on the Wolf Creek side.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and Don, those 15 shares that were converted via the agreement that Mark's referencing were irrigation shares that were ultimately converted to mitigation shares minus voting rights. So,
right,
yes,
right.
Precedentally, you know, this will lead in. So let's get to the agreement snafu and these two paths.
Okay, so let's jump into this. So Kobabe Well, lots of question marks on Kobabe Well. Just to dissuade any, you know, kinds of thoughts. First of all, Kobabe, you know, he just did things up on the mountain, right? And so it's physically next to Pump House 1. I mean, it's within 15 feet of Pump House 1, the existing Kobabe Well, as we know it. Its water right is maybe 1,600 feet north. So, you know, that's been a concern for a long, long time about our water right doesn't match. And that's part of these negotiations is we're trying to get the Wolf Creek folks to agree that we can file change applications and correct these things without them objecting, okay? So that's kind of a skeleton in our closet we've been worrying about. Maybe it was drilled to 300 feet, but it's caved in maybe back to 50 feet. Again, see all these question marks? Because we don't know a whole lot about the Kobabe Well. Maybe it produced 50 to 100 gallons per minute. Today, if you dropped a pump in it, Evan tells me maybe you get 25 gallons per minute. Mm. Now, just so that so I can manage expectations, when we started on the Kobabe replacement well, it was just simply, hey, what if we lose the Pizzle Spring? We're an immediate emergency. So let's get a quick replacement well, a 300-foot Kobabe well in, so we can get 25 gallons per minute to replace Pizzle Spring. That's where we started. And then as well, gee, as long as we're drilling, let's go deeper. Boy, could we get more water. You know, I hope maybe several hundred gallons per minute, but I'm trying to manage expectations because we're starting looking before. Let's get 25 gallons per minute. The other thing you need to know is that we've entered into an agreement with Summit that says that once we've fulfilled our needs as far as source capacity, that Summit has first right to purchase the excess capacity. Again, something that stays in this room because Wolf Creek Irrigation Company would come unglued about this. This is a district water right, and Summit is a developer that can purchase into that. Like any other developer, we've just given Summit first position to do that. They would come unglued if they thought that we were acquiring any additional water for Summit.
Well, so, I would add just another coffin nail. If DNR knew about this, we wouldn't get the bond money.
You mean because?
First right of refusal.
Oh, okay. And I think Paul's looked at this. We need 90 some odd gallons per minute for what I'll call district proper, if I can use that term. And we'll just see what this well proves up to be. If it's 90 gallons per minute, then it's all to the district. If it's more than that, then we sit down and we talk about it. So, this has never been approved as a drinking water source, okay? Nor is it approvable as a drinking water source, the current Kobe well. Nonetheless, historically, they used to put it into the system whenever they had issues with their springs. But of course, we haven't done that since Paul's been in charge, because that would be illegal and wrong and contaminate the drinking water supply. This is a cross-section. So if we go up to Powder Mountain, it's a bowl, and it's tipped up on ends, and we've got all these layers of rocks. And we're up here on the edge of the bowl, drilling into this bowl, and so all the rocks are tipped, and we don't know how the bowl contorts and tips once you get underground. But just on there, if you see the well on the left, that's our current plan, which will be 1,000 to 1,200 feet to go down and meet the contact between the Ute Langston limestone formation and the underlying Gertsen formation. And Gertsen is going to be less permeable than the Ute Langston formation. And we believe that there might be karst activity solution widening, and hence there's the potential of finding some meaningful water at that contact. We know that just downstream, and this is another keep in the room kind of thing, there are big springs that issue into Wolf Creek at this contact. And so we're shooting for that water, okay? Of course, we're looking to mitigate for it, so there shouldn't be an issue, but the Wolf Creek guys want their cake and eat it too. They want us to have zero impact on them, but give them water, and that just doesn't make logical sense, but we're shooting for that contact. If we were forced to drill upstream, which thankfully with the new start card we're now not going to, they would have to drill another 400 feet deeper to hit that same contact. And so we're glad that we got the start card. So so we've had two replacement well applications. When I was working this on Saturday, you know, I didn't know, but we now have a third replacement well application approved that will give us 6 months to drill the Kobe well. These things expire, so we get one approved, and then we don't get the well drilled, we get one approved, and so with the new regional engineer, we were just nervous. All right, is he gonna ask more questions, because he's asking to approve something that's 1,600 feet off in the water right record. But thankfully, discussions went good this morning and were approved, so we have 6 months now to drill. Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's water right, why do we mitigate? Okay, they have an old decreed water right that was in the Weber River decree. And their water right, they've done through several change applications over the years. We haven't really studied those because we were just agreeing with Wolf Creek, hey, it's your business, we're not going to get into your business, that may change. But they've had several change applications over their old water right. But their water right has a 20 CFS high flow or flood flow in the spring. That's how much they can take when the river's not in regulation. But when they drop into regulation, they have a right to 9.85 CFS. And even though they generally only receive that in the springtime, and that's gone by sometime in June, we can't impact that. And so even though it might drop to 3 CFS, if our actions drop it to 2.9 CFS, then we've impaired them and they have a cause of action against us. They put it into a pressure irrigation system. Their water right says that they irrigate 741 acres. They have 791 shares, and their bylaws say that it's one share per acre. So there's a 50 share disparity there that we haven't quite reconciled. Again, we haven't tried to get into their business. This is just kind of the public information that we'll need to look at and understand a little bit better. Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District, I think, owns 160 some odd shares, and they rent another 42. So they control 209 shares. So that, you know, they're, what, 30% or whatever of the company, 35% of the company, of the Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, as far as water usage is concerned. They have an 1861 priority. Our COBABE stock warning rights have a 1900 priority, and our exchange applications have a, you know, 1970 through 1990 priority or something. So they're clearly senior priority to us. But that's to surface water, not to groundwater. And so that's something we'll have to talk about. So in 2014, we, the district, have been operating for 40 years without any objection. We're using the Pizzle Springs when all of a sudden they got, you know, testy. and issued a letter to the river commissioner saying, we want you guys to go into regulation. Those guys are 1900 priority, we're 1861, regulate those guys. And he immediately sent us, the district, you know, a letter and said, all right, you guys have to turn off. Of course, we said, that's ridiculous, we're a public water supplier. We immediately entered into negotiations. We leased shares for the year 2014. It was a reasonable rate. We paid them to forego usage of their shares so that we could go ahead and continue to use Peasel Springs in 2014. The same thing happened in 2015, but the rates went up quite a bit. So at that point in time, we said, wait a minute, we need to acquire our own shares so we're not playing this game and so we're not beholden to Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. And so that's then what led to these discussions that we're talking about. So those discussions, I don't know, Bob, Paul, it was some period of time. We really had to...
Alita Kobe, the only two words you need to know.
That's right. And she's related to her father, who are all very nice people but negotiate like foxes. And we ultimately had to lean on the Kobe family fairly hard and say, look, this is kind of the honor of your dad that you're talking about. And that's how we got him to the table. You know, he built something up there on the mountain, and he made promises to the downstream folks, and now those promises are due, and he never delivered any shares, and we're willing to buy him. We think you ought to give them to us, but we're willing to buy him, but his legacy is going to be tarnished if we don't get shares, because there was no sellers of shares out there in the world. And so that's what we did, is we leaned on him very hard. We acquired, after several years of negotiation, 15 shares about a year ago this month. The purchase price, if I remember correctly, was $135,000, and then a lot of pluses on there. So we had to give future connections so that we've foregone the right to collect another, I don't know, $80,000 or $100,000 in impact fees from Kobe family. And then there was a lot of costs associated with county attorney and my time and Paul's time and Bob's time to negotiate this deal. So it's, I think that the actual purchase price was $135,000, if I remember, but there were a lot of pluses as far as the value of what it cost. These are irrigation shares. They're bona fide irrigation shares. We can use them to irrigate 15 acres this summer down in Wolf Creek Irrigation's service area. By the time we acquired them, Summit had acquired its shares, and in their settlement agreement, it says that their shares are converted to mitigation shares. And so when Summit received its certificate, they actually wrote on their mitigation shares. And D. Staples badly wanted to do that on the district shares, and we just strenuously objected and said, no way. These are full freight shares. We're headed down a path. At that point in time, we were negotiating that these would become mitigation shares. But I said, we're going to need something. When we give up the voting rights, and when we give up the ability to use them as full freight shares, we're going to want something from it. And so we're not going to let you just take that away from us in the share update process. We're going to have to negotiate that away, and there's going to be a price on that. And because we're now negotiations have gone, I'm really grateful that we have full freight shares in the irrigation company. So two different paths. And maybe let me start on the right side. The right side under the change application path. That's what would happen 95% of the time with shareholders in this state. People go in, they, developers or whomever, acquire shares, they go to the irrigation company, they file a change application on their shares, so the shares are almost their water right, and then they use the water that they would have used under the irrigation company out of their new well. That's what happens most of the time. That's what the path that the state engineer wanted us to take.
But is that always in within the district boundaries? Or
not always. I mean, like, you know, you look around, even like Weber Basin, of course, those are different. They're contracts, but they move all over the place. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're within district boundaries, and there are some districts that restrict them. Okay. But other times, I mean, many, many cities own shares. Majority of cities now own shares of various irrigation companies. Okay. And so then what would happen under that scenario is we'd file a change application on our shares, which would give us the right to take 45 acre feet out of the Kobe well or out of the Hidden Lake well during the summer months, during the irrigation months. And then during the winter months, we would use our Weber Basin contract water. Okay, so we'd have two water rights operating at independent times of the year. Okay, that's, like I say, the route that we normally go. However, That's not the route that Summit and the Wolf Creek Irrigation Company went in their discussions, and it's not the route that Wolf Creek wants us to go in our discussions. Instead, they want it to be so that we, in the summer, we pump the Kobabe well with our Weber Basin water right, and then we mitigate them with our Wolf Creek shares, which means basically we're using two water rights at the same time. We're double paying, so to speak. Now, that's okay because we have abundant, you know, Weber Basin contract water, but it's inefficient. But that's what they wanted to do to kind of control our mitigation. And again, we're talking 20 or 25 acre feet over 4 months. That's what they told us. So the Summit agreement is 200 acre feet over a year. When we started the negotiations, Wolf Creek said, hey, we don't want to do this annualized kind of amount. We just want to do 4 months. That's when we're out of water. We'll determine how much your shares are worth during those 4 months. And that's what you'll be limited to. So that's where we headed down this path. It ended up with 20 acre feet. That's the direction they wanted to go. The advantage of going this direction is that we get an agreement out of Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. And what was on the table is, hey guys, we're showing up here and we're agreeing to mitigate. And we're agreeing to mitigate one-to-one, even though we don't think that the Kobabe well is going to have a one-to-one impact on the stream flow. We'll give you all those things, but you got to agree to let us use our water rights, file change applications and exchange applications on our water rights to meet our needs as a district, to get the Hidden Lake well and the Bloomington well included, the Kobabe well corrected as to its point of diversion. And that's reasonable, because otherwise we just file a change application and then you fight us. But why not just agree up front? We'll already agree to mitigate, so the state engineer doesn't need to require us to do it. We'll put it in an agreement. And that's where we thought we were, and that's why we went that path, is we'd get an agreement so that we could move ahead without protest or objection. That's why we were willing to kind of go to the left side as opposed to the right side, even though there's some clear advantages to us on the right side. It was a conscious decision to say, let's get an agreement in hand, let's make this peaceful, let's show good faith to Wolf Creek Irrigation Company, let's over-mitigate to them so that we might be able to move ahead. So then let's talk about then the negotiations, where we were. First of all, so this is where we've been over a couple of years, but more earnestly in the last 6 months, is first issue that they raised is, hey, they want attorney's fees. And there's some logic, even though that's troubling to us, there's some logic to it because we are the agitator. We're the ones that are making the change. In other words, we're going to them. They wouldn't have incurred this cost but for us. So we're showing up at the table and we're saying, we want to make a change application. We offered half on attorney's fees so that they would be motivated to keep the attorney's fees down. They came back and said, we want full attorney's fees. We said, we can't give you a blank check. So this is what we're going to do in this process. We collectively are going to negotiate an agreement. Once we have a meeting of the minds, we're going to deliver the agreement to our attorneys. Our attorneys are going to put it all together and legalize it, so it's a good agreement. Then we're going to pass it to their attorneys. Their attorneys are going to look at it and say, all right, it's going to cost $2,000 for us to give our input and to review this, to sign off on this. It'd come back to the board. The board would say, all right, we approved $2,000. We'd give the $2,000 to Wolf Creek Irrigation Company. They'd pay their attorneys to do their review and their input, or however it was going to go down. That's where we were in our discussions thus far. Again, it was a kind of a sore spot, but we understand the issue, in other words, because we're trying to make the change. Again, we were talking about in our last meeting, which is in early November, that Bob and I sat down with their full board, about 20 acre feet over the four month period, but again, more recent data might suggest 25 acre feet. We would convert our shares to non-voting mitigation shares like the Summit shares. We would then file change applications and move our district water rights to all sources, which is again what most public water suppliers do, is any and all water and any and all sources, and then our mitigation would apply to all sources, which means we could mitigate for Hidden Lake Well and Bloomington Well. I mean, it would just be this accounting. In other words, in a year, maybe this year we use Hidden Lake Well the whole time, and the next year it's Kobabe Well or some combination, and it's just we need to meet the total. And then we needed to have some kind of permanent and yet interim agreement. And Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's attorney said, hey, I can figure out how to do this. And the reason we needed permanent is we're a public water supplier. We can't be exposed that all of a sudden our mitigation's turned off. And yet at the same time, we anticipate that once Summit has built the reservoir and development's occurring, that Summit then under the development agreement is going to deed over to the district its water rights and its mitigation. And at that point in time, we don't want to have two sets of mitigation kinds of things. So our goal is we'll sit down and we'll create a common agreement by that time where there's good faith, we're good neighbors, and we'll just go to a simplified, because that Summit Wolf Creek settlement agreement is a monster of agreement. Nobody knows what it means. And so we were going to get rid of all that. And so inter means out there to future date, whether it's 2 years or 10 years from now, we'll come back together and we'll renegotiate this. So when Bob and I left the meeting in November, we thought that we were done. I mean, that we were there. They needed a little bit of time to look at our proposal, like a little bit of time, like 2 weeks, we thought we were going to hear back. And oh, by the way, this is because when I told Roy, if I got to work on Saturday on this, I'm going to be working on my Sunday school lesson at the same time. So that's Potiphar's wife trying to seduce Joseph. And that's what Wolf Creek Irrigation Company is trying to do, is to seduce us into doing something that's really bad with their counter proposal. So let me tell you about their counter proposal. First thing is they came out after, you know, now what, 3-4 months, 5 months of working on this.
You left in November thinking, hey, 2 weeks, we're going to be in good shape.
Right.
Now we're sitting here at the end of March.
That's right.
Okay.
Mid-March, we got this. And the other thing is, when we received the agreement from them, everything through this whole process that's taken forever is we sit down and talk about it first, then we put it in red line mode so everybody can see what it looks like in the agreement. So we've been very slowly taking those 2014-2015 agreements and very slowly converting them to a permanent agreement, talking about it every step along the way. When they delivered this agreement to us, it was a PDF, and it was clean, no red line. And I called them up and said, hey, there's a gazillion changes in here. We need a red line copy. And the response was, yeah, we'll get you a red line copy. It was just easier for us to give you the PDF, but there's hardly any changes. So why are you worried about this? And then when I pressed them further, they ultimately came back and said, we need to get our attorney's permission before we give this to you. And I'm like, their attorneys haven't even seen it. So that all of a sudden made us nervous, right? So we're kind of going line by line to see the changes. But the first is they want a blank check on their attorney's fees. And I'm saying, there's no way we can do that. I mean, we can't just tell you, go ahead and hire your attorneys to do the fight against us. The second thing is that they were consistent on the 20 acre feet over 4 months, but then they put a second limitation, and that is 60 acre feet over a year. And I mean, that's just unacceptable. I mean, that's off the table. They can't regulate.
Illegal.
Right, they can't regulate what we do in the winter. It's our
water
right. They don't have a water right in the winter. Then they were consistent in the non-voting mitigation shares. That was the same. But then they said, we can't change it, file a change application to move to the other sources. We can only use this out of the Kobe well and the Pizzle Springs. We can't put it in the Hidden Lake and the Bloomington wells, which means then our water right could be used to cover our obligations to Summit. And that our mitigation would only be in the Kobe and the Springs also. So they had changed it there. Then they added an additional requirement, and these are now new things that we never even spoken about. The first is, and this one was singularly the most offensive, they said, we're going to take all of the monies that our shareholders are paying on their annual stock assessments, including the district and Summit. We're going to take those monies and we're going to build some additional storage. And when we build that additional storage, we're going to improve the company's water rights. But you guys can't benefit. So that 20 acre feet doesn't change to 21 acre feet or whatever. So they're going to use our money to build additional storage, but we can't, we're dished out of it. I mean, we can't participate in that. And we need to agree that we won't object to their change application when they file it, even though that may be in conflict with the district's water rights, because they might expand their period of use with a senior priority water right, and now we can't use our Weber Basin water as long as it might be. I looked at that, I was extremely offended by this, but Roy looked at it and had a really good perspective, and that is, you know, this changed the entire game right here, because it's really now an issue of trust. We were negotiating in good faith and in trust with these guys, and their true colors have shown. they are not intending to treat the Powder Mountain District as a shareholder, as part of a family. They're very much trying to cheat the district at every turn that they can. I mean, that's, and I think Roy's perception was very good there.
Spot on.
Yeah. Then they also want to force us as a district to move future development in Cache Valley. That's something that's in the summit agreement. We fully supported it. But A, we as a district, we can't agree to that. I mean, we have to provide water to people regardless. I mean, however we get it. Second of all, it's just plain stupid. We're negotiating with Cache Valley right now. And the Cache Valley folks, if they saw this in a public document that said we're going to get all of our future sources out of Cache Valley, would really create a problem in our negotiations with Cache Valley folks. So, you know, and we've told them that before, but they put it in there. Then they want us to assume all of Summit's monitoring requirements that came from their settlement agreement. And again, we're saying no. And what's particularly offensive about it is they won't let us put our water rights in Summit sources, but we need to report Summit sources to them. And by the way, something that's come out of all of this is Summit is fulfilling its obligations, but the Wolf Creek proper folks don't know that. And so they keep badgering me, saying, go beat up on Summit. They're not doing their what they're needing to do. But last week when I spoke with Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's agreement, they said, oh, and sending us quarterly all of the data. It's just not getting disseminated within their group, but Summit's meeting their monitoring requirements. And then there were lots of other miscellaneous things that they added in there. I mean, they wholesale changed this agreement. And the last thing is that this agreement will be for 5 years, but could be extended. The problem with that is we could go ahead and drill the Kobabe well, spend the million whatever dollars, be up there operating, have homes dependent upon it, and then 5 years this sunsets, and now we have to renegotiate it, and they could put all these onerous terms. And if we don't agree to those onerous terms, then we don't have mitigation and our water rights off. And so, particularly given seeing their true colors, that's now off the table. So with this, the discussions went that I was supposed to create a document documenting our concerns with this, which I have. It's like a 9-page document, but I haven't delivered it to them. And then we were supposed to authorize at this meeting $500 to $600 for their attorneys to review my objections with them. So I sat down with their attorneys down at Water Users last week, and they knew nothing of this. And they talked about going to their attorneys for technical help. And if our attorneys tell us we're off base, then we'll come back and erase these things. And you know, as I sat there with their two attorneys, Jody Williams and Steve Voyevich, halfway through this discussion about all these things that are being added, Jody Williams sat there and she just started, you know, with her face in her hands. And Steve Voyevich kept saying, that's illegal. They can't do that. That's wrong. And so that's how the discussions went. And I get to the end of the discussion and Jody lifts up her head and she goes, forget these guys. File a change application on the Shareholders Water Rights Act and just force them to be reasonable. And of course, that's what we're here today to talk about. But I was, of course, I didn't want to tip our hand, so I'm quickly saying, well, we just need a cooling off period. We want to get these guys to the table and, you know, kind of backed off of that. But that's where their attorneys are on this. So moving ahead, shareholders' rights statute, and Rachel jumped in any time in this. This has been contention in the state of Utah for a number of years, and there's been a number of versions of this act and modifications to this act. For shareholders, it used to be that shareholders could just take their shares and say, hey, I've got a water right, I'm gonna do anything I want with my water right, regardless as to whether or not the company agrees. And then there was a Supreme Court decision that said, no, you're just a shareholder, you don't have a water right. And it was kind of like, hey, you own shares of stock in IBM, you can't walk in the front door and demand a computer. Instead, your obligation is dividends. And so it's gone back and forth, you know, this pendulum, and now it's closer to the middle. But the bottom line is right now, the process is that a shareholder goes and files, prepares a draft change application, saying this is what we want to do with our shares. They submit it to the company with a certified letter, and that formally starts a 120-day clock where they have to look at our proposal. And they have three answers. They can consent. They can consent to the change application with conditions, or they can decline our change applications and they have to give us reasons. And there are specific items in the act that they can review. And I don't see that we violate any of those things that they can review. We'll compensate them. We won't hurt them. We won't damage their ditches. We won't make them have any less water. I mean, everything that we're looking to do already put on the table, I think is compliant with the Shareholders' Rights Act. And then it says that if we disagree with the conditions or disagree with them declining it, then we go to before a judge, and the judge forces the two of us to be reasonable. Right now, we're believing we've been more than reasonable, and so we're not too afraid of that right now. But that's, I don't know, Rachel, did
I
say?
No, that's great. Yeah, I was just going to add, I found it really interesting in reading the statute, the list of things that they can consider. It doesn't say anything about meeting the district's own restrictions or bylaws. So it's not like the water company. It's not like they can go in and adopt some crazy bylaws that have all these weird requirements. And then when we submit our proposal, say, oh, no, you don't meet our requirements. No, this statute says, no, these are the only requirements you can consider. And they're things like Don was saying, you know, protecting the other shareholders and protecting the water sources and all that reasonableness type stuff. But it's not like they can add in extra conditions beyond what the statute says.
Okay. So in these negotiations with their amended agreement that they sent over to us a couple of weeks ago, there was a funny, in that other provisions, there was a funny provision that I didn't understand that was brand new that said, oh, Rachel, what were the words? Something like, you guys hereby agree that this agreement is not inconsistent with our amended bylaws or something like that. And I thought, that's kind of strange language. What does that mean? Because they've been telling us all along that they were going to amend their bylaws to create a new class of shares, mitigation shares, consistent with the summit agreement. And we thought that was done. And so I said to Dee, when I said, hey, you know, now you've added a reference to your bylaws, will you send us please a copy of your bylaws? So we got a copy of their bylaws a week ago Friday, and we've scanned through those bylaws. And we find nothing in their bylaws that prohibits a shareholder from changing its shares outside of the company. But there is this in this Article 8, and we need to know that this Article 8 deals with transfer of shares, and I need to define transfer of shares. That's ownership update. In other words, I sell to Roy my shares, I endorse the back of the shares, Roy takes them down to the company, and the company changes the shares and puts Roy's name on them. That's what transfer in this context means, is that now Roy's the shareholder instead of me being the shareholder. But within this section of the bylaws, then, there's some language that is of some concern, I mean, that we want to pay attention to. And that is, it says that there will be no transfer of shares to a new owner if the new owner intends to move the water outside of the water boundary service area of the company, which is not defined in the bylaws. So a couple of things to kind of break that out. First of all, transfer has occurred. We own the shares. We are a shareholder. And when we acquired the shares, we had no intention of doing a change application because we were going the mitigation route pursuant to our negotiations with Wolf Creek. It's only in the last...
Were we taking water out of the district at that point?
No,
out of their surface area?
No, because the way that the agreement was going to be is it was just going to be an out-of-priority agreement. In other words, we were going to divert our water up the canyon, but it was going to be our water.
Got it.
And then the mitigation was going to occur inside of their boundaries, so there was no moving outside, so to speak, is the way that they saw it in their vision.
Got it.
We had no intention to go the Shareholders' Rights Act at the time because we thought we were going down the mitigation path. So we weren't violating any intention kinds of things. And then again, the water service area boundary is undefined. So one of the things then is that there's then this additional sentence that also says there's no transfer if we're going to move it into a well, which is clearly what we intend to do. But again, we're not talking about transfer. We're talking about a change application of an existing shareholder. We're an existing shareholder. Now, one of the things that then entered into our mind is Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District is a major shareholder. Might they be treating us differently than them? And so, again, we haven't studied all their water rights, but they've done several change applications over the years. And their most recent change application included this area right up in here, which I am confident if we go back through their old water right boundaries, that that area was high and dry. That's up on the mountain over to the northeast corner of their development. But now it's included in their water right. And so this isn't something I was able to, I mean, just learned this morning, is I think we can say, hey, there's precedent for them accommodating another shareholder. And so if they object to us and we're in front of a judge,
there's a waiver argument.
Right. So I don't know.
Yeah, and as Roy says, they're water spreading, basically.
Right.
At that.
Yeah, so they only still have a certain quantity, and yet they've added all these acreage, all this acreage. Does that work under state law?
Well, in theory, they're taking out acres as they're putting in subdivisions, and then they're limited to a certain volume per year. But no, I mean, we could be looking at those kinds of questions. I mean, have they adequately gone around every house? Because they have a secondary water system and measured every Fitzer and, you know, everything else. I don't know. So, Rachel, I don't know. I'm delving into what kind of give them your impressions on this. So.
Yeah, where can we go, Rachel?
No, I think that's a really good point. I think it's beneficial to have in our back pocket, but I think that primarily it goes back to what you were just saying, that these restrictions are only on transfers, and whereas the transfers already occurred, it almost is irrelevant what they say. That said, you know, if I were their attorney, I may try to make some argument out of it that clearly the intention is we don't want this water used out of our system. And then coming back to me being our attorney, what I would say is that our right to do a change application under the Shareholders' Rights Act is completely governed just by that statute and not by their bylaws. And that, again, like I said, the only things they can consider is this list of items in the statute, which don't include anything about moving outside your boundaries. But like I said, in the back pocket, it is nice to have that as an example of, and even if you do have a requirement that somehow applies to us, you've waived that requirement by treating other entities differently.
But I see the finite point that we're getting wound up on here is the fact that it's, we're acting as though we want to use for our beneficial purposes this water at our well location, which is outside the district. This is not, as you said to me the other day, and you turned the light on for me, this is not water that we want to bring out of the ground. This is mitigation water. This is, we're going to offset any harm we could have done to them by pumping water that we have a water right to pump with. So it's a different animal. It doesn't fit in my interpretation.
Well, so that then brings us to this is the last slide, and that is, hey, which way do we go? So we were headed down the mitigation path, where we were saying, we're going to take it out of the ground with our water right. We know our water right's junior, and therefore we'll mitigate you. And that's where the negotiations were. And we could go back to the table and say, guys, everything's wrong in your amendments. We're not accepting any of it. And by the way, we're not even willing to go back to where we were in November because we don't trust you. I mean, that's really, quite honestly, the discussion. Or we work hard in the next several weeks and we prepare a change application to go the shareholders' rights route, and we keep it quiet because we don't want them to make any kind of preemptive move, even though you know, as Rachel's saying, they may not be able to.
Right.
But, and then all of a sudden out there in 3 weeks or something, they receive a certified letter that says, you guys have 120 days to respond to us, but here's our draft change application. Now that change application's gotta be pretty perfect, right? I mean, we've gotta thought through all the various issues as far as, you know, timing and water and coming out here and there. But it forces them to no longer play their games. I mean, we've been months doing this.
Yep.
And it puts a time limit on them. Now, it doesn't mean that, I mean, in our certified letter, I'm sure we'd love to sit down with you. I mean, so we might end up back at the mitigation route.
This might just be a further negotiation strategy to spur on.
Yeah,
because I can't guarantee that it's a winner that we'd get accepted, but it may be useful as a tactic to try.
Right. I mean, we want to work with these guys. We want to show good faith. That's what we've been doing all along. It's just that they can't play their games anymore. And you know, there's all kinds of, all right, who's doing this and why have they played the new game? One of the things that's interesting is they have a policy because of the share ownership of Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District, that they have a person on the board from Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District, even though their bylaws don't say that. And Roy and I are planning on going to the Wolf Creek Irrigation Company's annual shareholders meeting on Thursday night. And there's an election, and their board chairman, Dee Staples, who we've been working with on this, is up for election, as well as Miranda Menzies, who is the new Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District representative. And quite honestly, we think much of this is coming from her. I mean, she is...
Much as in 100%.
Yeah, even though Dee will say, no, this is all me, these are all my thoughts.
You know,
Miranda showed up for the first time at our last meeting, and she sat there kind of quietly. She asked a few questions, and then when we left the meeting, they kind of said, well, we need to think about it. And then when we didn't hear from them, Bob followed up and said, hey, we haven't heard from you. And they said, well, Miranda's gone to Australia for 2 months. As soon as she gets back, and then after she was back for a month, then we received this. And so anyways, I think that's her being extremely aggressive, wanting to control the mountain. And we've told them all along, we're going to mitigate. We're going to be good neighbors, but there's a point. And we think they've gone way, way, way beyond that point.
Yeah.
So there it is.
I mean,
go ahead, Bob. No, Bob, go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of this is the political sort of issues between Miranda and Dee. Miranda can legitimately come up and espouse a narrative that says that Dee Staples crafted the summit agreement, personally benefited from the sale of 15 shares himself for considerations, and that now that the summit agreement that he crafted is having compliance issues, and now he wants to sort of not be aggressive enough with Powder Mountain in what Wolf Creek Water and Sewer and Irrigation Company recognize is not enough water. They fundamentally do not have enough water at the bottom of the hill. So I think this is a dust-up between Miranda and Dee, and Dee sort of looked at Miranda's changes and just let it go right through, hoping that we would take an aggressive course of action essentially against her. And so where I am on this is I think we need to launch this shareholder conversion path. I'm not sure I think 3 weeks is an appropriate time. I would put that on a higher priority if it's possible. Let Don and Roy go to this meeting and kind of feel the crowd out. And then we can kind of advance this along with serial conference calls among our groups. But to not launch this right away and make it clear to them that these are failed negotiations and that it was essentially has opened up the Pandora's box of additional legal fees and bad faith and all these sorts of things that are true. I think that's what I would suggest, but I would defer to the board and to Don and to Rachel and Paul and Roy and just, there's coins in the air. We gotta call it, heads or tails.
I have a different view. And that's this. It sounds based on what I think Don said that our anticipation is, although we believe we would prevail if we went the sort of unilateral route, we wouldn't prevail quickly, and we certainly expect to incur some legal pain if we did that. So I wonder if there's benefit to going back to them with our changes to the agreement. I mean, you know, I understand. I hear the anger in everybody's voice about how we feel we've been played by these guys a little bit. And I appreciate that. But I wonder if we need to put that down and just go back. I mean, they put in a whole bunch of stuff that some of which is unreasonable, but much of which is illegal. Let's just go back and say, hey, we talk to our attorney and say, yeah, we can't do that. It's illegal. We can't do that because of this.
Yeah, Gary, Mark, Don's got a letter that Don, right, that would point that we could, if we want to do that, right? I mean, that's your letter.
Right. I mean, there's this 9-page letter. The issue in my mind, Gary, and I appreciate your thinking, and And that's where we've been for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But the reality is based on what we've observed from them, I think that the shareholders' rights route is the quickest route now, even if it requires litigation, because there's rules and time frame. These guys have just strung us along for forever. I mean, going way, way back, long ago, we said to the board, let's sit down and negotiate a revised agreement as to how we're going to use our shares when we go out and acquire them. And the answer from the board is, no, you guys go out and acquire your shares first, and then we promise that we'll negotiate with you in good faith. And so then we did that, and now we're here. And like I say, I really think, given their experience, and I can just lay it on the table really bluntly, the old guard of Summit, when they started up there, took the wrong approach. I think there's no two ways about it. They basically said, we're going to go up here, we're going to drill wells on the top of the mountain, and we're going to tell the world we're not affecting anybody. And that was their mantra. That's what they argued in the water right hearings. And nobody bought it, including the state engineer. And the state engineer, then when he gave them the order approving their applications, forced Summit to be at the table. And kind of, to a certain degree, Summit was over a barrel. They were kind of going a little bit begging to the Wolf Creek folks. And the Wolf Creek folks were fairly aggressive, including Miranda, in putting all kinds of onerous requirements on Summit in that negotiating process, because they knew that they had Summit. They beat them in the water right process. And we were saying, we're not going to go down that path. We're going to negotiate up front. But nonetheless, I think that there's belief by at least Miranda, if not others, that somehow they can hold the district over a barrel as well. And so that's why the shareholders' rights say, you know, you got to be reasonable. And there's a difference between the district and Summit, and that is the Summit, that the district is a public water supply agency. We have limits of what we can and can't do. Private parties can negotiate whatever they want. But we have a fiduciary responsibility to say, you bet, in these negotiations, we went right to the middle. This is the right answer. We're willing to do it. And they've acknowledged it. I mean, Dee has said to us multiple times, you guys have been open, you've been transparent, we appreciate the way you've approached this, and then we get this. And I think that we will waste triple 120 days trying to bring them back to the table. That would be my take based on the negotiations. And in fact, we're not going back to where we were. We're going to be more restrictive of where we were when we go back to negotiate. First of all, I think that there's no way that we're willing to give up our voting rights this round because of the way they've shown their colors. And I think that we'd be really trying to go the change application route, even if it's negotiated. But again, just because we file this certified letter doesn't mean that we have to, I mean, it doesn't have to be nuclear war. It can simply be them going to their attorneys and saying, uh-oh, and their attorneys saying, yeah, these guys are in the right, you better sit down and be reasonable.
So that gets me to the second plan, which if that's what we want to do, can we prepare what you just described, the letter, the
got it.
Right?
Sure.
So can we put together our argument, you know, assuming we'll have to take this to a judge now, and we can all review it and make sure we're 100% bulletproof? Because the worst thing, it seems to me, would be to go nuclear and then, you know, end up having missed out on something. And again, not suggesting you would miss out on something, but, you know, this seems important enough to us that might be the something to do, something to show us.
So Gary, you know, I like kind of where you're headed, but I would also throw in, and you know, I'm not trying to paint a rosier picture than it actually exists, but I had a meeting with Dee Staples to talk about the Summit agreement. Miranda was there, and so was Rob Thomas. And Rob Thomas and Dee told me after the meeting they feel better than they've ever felt about the relationship with Summit. So maybe some of that friction is going away, so they're willing to feel and a little bit more good faith as we move forward. This was just last week when we had the meeting. And maybe I'm just deceiving myself too, because I like to think people deal honestly. And obviously you've had opposite experience. So the other thing is, I think within the district, not within the board, but within the district, there would be a ton of pushback from the constituents if they knew, and the shareholders, if they knew that their district was about to engage in another prolonged legal fight, because they have portrayed their rate increase solely as a result of their legal battles. and really glossed over kind of their lack of management in the district. So, you know, I'm wondering if there's I'm wondering if there's a two-pronged approach where we come in with your 9-page memo that details all the deficiencies in their counter offer, say we're prepared to go the shareholders' rights route, unless they engage in good faith negotiations, and we can bring it to a resolution in 3 weeks.
So the problem with that, I would love to go that route, but there is a little bit of wondering about them. So we know that they have draft revised bylaws that have conversion of mitigation shares that we'll talk about. We haven't seen them. And so I love that route, except that the timing is, in my mind, is that we get the certified letter. Then I love to sit down with them. But what I hate to do is for them to get wind that we are considering this other option, and then whether or not they can is really fuzzy, but we don't want them to do something preemptively.
I think it's sort of unlikely that they can pass any new bylaw that would retroactively apply to our bona fide, fully fledged shares. We're, like you said, we're not designated as mitigation shares, which honestly, that itself is a little fuzzy because they don't have that designation in their bylaws. It's just like something they made up and wrote on the summit's share certificate. So what that means would be entirely up to interpretation. But anyway, what it would do is certainly cause more legal headache, because if they're going to try to argue all these weird bylaws, then we have to respond to that. And back to your point, Gary, about can we get a legal analysis preemptively, the only difficulty I have with that is so much of it is going to depend on what they say to us. You know, what is their response going to be? What are their conditions going to be, or whatever? What is their rejection going to be? And I kind of can't predict what their arguments
that's actually my point is let's go through the 50 things we can think of, you know, maybe hopefully it's not 50, you know, whatever it is, and make sure there's not something that slipped past. But let me go back to Mark for a second. So here's the thing, and Bob, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Mark, when you talk, people listen, and people trust what you say far more than ordinary mortals. And I wonder if that might be, if not a secret weapon, at least a weapon we might deploy with the facts of the 9-page letter, if not the actual 9-page letter, in one more, you know, next week meeting, to kind of just, can we see, you know, we've got a rapport, we're kind of making some progress, see if we can kind of get this going in a way that maybe it hasn't so far. Because again, I think, if Mark went in and said, you know, hey, I certainly understand where you're coming from on this, but just legally, you can't do it. It's against the state law. You know, that might be enough to, you know, kill half of these provisions that, you know, at least I think Don said were illegal. And see if we can't make enough progress to maybe restart this. Is that something worth thinking about?
Well, I mean, you know, if Mark's willing to go to the meeting on Thursday with Mark or with Roy and Don, then that's a triumvirate. You're right. That's a persuasive, that's our first team. But I still am in the space where prepare this letter to go the shareholder conversion route and launch, okay? You can always withdraw it, but at least it creates a certain level of seriousness. And if ultimately that becomes the quickest path, least expensive path to getting us where we need to be, just do that. On Thursday, Roy Roy and Don are going to get a feel for the room. They're going to be able to convey the ridiculousness of their counter proposals. I'm sure that they're both prepared to discuss these points. And so there'll be a relatively quick consensus that they need to either come back to the table in good faith and, you know, prevent this from happening again. In other words, insist that Miranda or a single board member get legal review and talk to other board members before they derail negotiations.
Just a couple of observations. First of all, this is not directly on the agenda for their shareholders meetings. And so we got to think that one through a little bit. But what is on the agenda is for them to give an update on Powder Mountain. And that's all it says. It doesn't say the negotiations or anything else. We're walking a couple of fine lines. One is we want the sympathy from the shareholders in general that we, the district, are good and operating in good faith. So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, well, boy, we can make a stab to try and get Miranda not elected or those kinds of things. But if we go in there, we've been trying to say all along, look, we're just going to be up there on the mountain doing our own thing, and we're not going to impact you. We're not trying to disrupt your company. You're an irrigation company. All we do is have our shares to mitigate. If we go in there very aggressively, then we've torpedoed ourselves on the fact that, hey, look, we've acquired shares, we're a shareholder, we're going to forego using our shares, in lieu we're going to take water in the mountain, and you guys shouldn't worry about it. Secondly, even though Mark, you know, is working on this rapport with Dee and Rob, and by the way, Rob is extremely reasonable to work with, the single issues in all of our meetings that they've been most anxious about is they don't want anything in there that has the district helping Summit, so to speak. I mean, and so Mark comes in there as wearing two hats, and so that makes me just a little bit nervous that they will be saying, wait a minute, why is Summit arguing for this agreement? Have we missed something? That's a concern. So I don't know what's the best way, but so Roy and I talked about it. We think that we're happy to answer questions. If they were to say, where are things in negotiations, I think we could go as far as saying, well, we've been talking for more than a year about this. We thought we had a deal on the table. We are quite disappointed in the response, but we're going to figure out how to work this out. I think we can say those kinds of things because, again, we're trying to build sympathy from the shareholders at large. I mean, Dee and Miranda and Rob, they know where this is. I mean, you know, so that they know what documents have been delivered to us. So I think that we're kind of trying to downplay. We're not trying to use this as a platform to embarrass their board just yet, because we're hopeful that we can get it there. And I would say that if we were to file a certified letter, that letter, even though it's a certified letter, is very much an olive leaf. In other words, it's saying, guys, we want to sit down at the table, but it also has the underlying message that says we're now in a formal process, and so you can't just play games. That's all we're trying to do. We are not trying to alienate them with this letter. But again, remember, with this letter, it needs to be an accompanying change application. And so when, Gary, you're talking about it, we would absolutely be circulating that to the board. And so all you're doing is authorizing Roy or Rachel, to make it protectable, to move ahead in continuing the negotiation process. And we see this as a negotiating process. Like I say, it's simply that we're putting them on notice. We're responding, but we're responding with putting them on notice that says we've got this other option. Again, I get nervous with their attorney already saying, why don't you follow the Shareholders' Rights Act? And the fact that this hasn't been, we don't have a whole lot of precedent in law, because this is a relatively new law, that they might hustle out there and try and amend their bylaws. Now, if they hustled out there to amend their bylaws, as I read their current bylaws, it says that they need to call a special meeting and they need to give all shareholders a 10-day notice. So we would know about it if they went out there to try and amend their bylaws. But it seems to me that our strength comes in getting a certified letter in their hand before they did anything, because certainly then we know what bylaws we're dealing with, because it's the bylaws as of the day that we filed the certified letter. And we know that they've got another version of the bylaws that takes away our voting rights and makes us have mitigation shares. And so it seems to me, again, I'm not trying to start World War III, I guess, but at the same time, a certified letter helps them get to reasonableness. That's all the law says is reasonableness.
Okay. So just to be clear, they can't change their bylaws after we send the letter. Whatever their bylaws were on the day we send the they received the letter, those are the bylaws that remain in effect for us forever versus this dispute?
Yeah.
For this dispute.
Right, for this dispute.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're trying. Well, I think we're trying to do three things by filing the. And again, it's just filing a change application with them and saying, guys, this is what we want to pursue. There's three things that are accomplished by it. One, it fixes the rules, fixes the date. Two, it fixes a timeline. So they've got 120 days now. They can't string us out for another 2 years. And three is it forces them under the law to be reasonable.
So in the draft letter you have now, is it basically just going point by point? Is there a cover letter already drafted to go with it that is kind of outlining our wishes and hopes from this process, or no?
No, this letter was prepared as a brain dump kind of the day after.
Yep. Okay.
And it was just prepared for them to take to their attorneys for us to say, this is what we disagree with your latest version of the agreement. And by the way, Dee tells me that he filtered out 80 or 90% of what Miranda wanted.
Now, Miranda, and Dee, even as an aside, kind of refers to the monitoring requirements that we have as Summit as Miranda's science experiment.
Yeah.
And he, I think he sees her over the top expectations and unreasonable approach to negotiation. So, I'm wondering, the more you talk about the strategy that you're proposing, I think it probably is the right strategy. I'm wondering if next steps would be, if you want to take a stab at drafting the cover letter to go with it, circulate that to the board, and we can all get back with email approval on that, and then move it forward as quickly as possible.
As well as the change application. The heart of it is the change application.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, to me, the cover letter is going to set the tone for what our desired outcomes are. And without setting them back on their heels and putting them in a defensive posture right out of the gate, I think that's probably the best strategy. So.
Yeah, I think the cover letter says, we want to work with you, we're neighbors, we're going to be neighbors for forever. We've been at the table, we've been open and transparent through this whole process, and Dee will very much applaud us and say thank you very much for doing that. And then we'll say, we came to you guys, instead of wanting to have a fight or a dispute, right up front and said, we'll mitigate. You guys had, in that first sentence, 98% of what you needed. And in the second sentence, we said, we'll mitigate you at 100% or 1-to-1 on the Kobabe well, which, nobody believes that the Kobabe well is really going to be a 1-to-1 impact on their water right. Mm-hmm. And say, therefore, in the second breath, we gave you more than 100% mitigation. You guys should have been dancing in the street at that point in time. And then you wanted voting rights, and you wanted attorney's fees, and you wanted this and this and this.
Then you came back and...
Right, and we agreed mm-hmm. to those just because we wanted to show an abundance of good faith, even though those were beyond the requirements. And then you've come back now with
several requirements that aren't even legal, and we'd like to continue moving in a positive direction instead of in a legal direction.
Right. And when we say...
So I concur with Mark as well. I believe that what he's saying might, in terms of defensive posture, I think that's really, really critical. And it's going to remain critical throughout this process. And I'm not 100% sure that telling them, and I don't mean this is criticism, just, we're normal humans. Giving them criticism about why we're reasonable and they're not, I would imagine...
Do you know any of these people?
...in the wrong direction. No. But I'm on the board of our little Powder Mountain West HOA, and I can say right now that, you know, these are very human interactions, and, you know, Mark is correct that, you know, let's not be too businessy about this when humanity may be what gets us through it.
Yeah, I mean, especially with where Miranda's concerned, because Miranda goes straight to a defensive posture, opening a conversation, you know, and I think the more we can do to diffuse that, the better off we're going to be to get to a rational solution rather than having her then start layering on more outlandish requests.
Exactly. I agree, but the reality is that our right answer may be forcing a 3-2 or a 4-1 vote, because, I mean, even though absolutely we want to bend over backwards, we want to do that, that the reality is that we've done just exactly, Gary, what you said, and said, what is your board interested in? Give us a list. Okay, we can work with that. All right, we can make that work all along. And the reality is you have three board members that kind of sit there quietly and ask questions. And it's really has been Dee and now Miranda. I mean, and I think Roy or Bob, I can't remember when. So you met with Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, she said, her words were, I had to coach Dee along and help write this for him.
Yeah.
Everything came from her, and that's what's unfortunate.
She is definitely the driving source, and she loves a good fight, and if we can not entice her into that battle, mm-hmm. we're going to be better off.
We are, but there might be a reality that sure. she's not going to be reasonable, yeah. and therefore what we're really trying to do is to get four board members to be against her. I hate to say that.
No,
I don't want to.
I fully agree with that. I think if you come into it, though, and you're putting her on the defensive right yeah. away, it's going to make us look confrontational to the board members you're trying to persuade, where, you know, most of these people that I've met seem relatively reasonable and rational. And if they see her behavior as over the top and irrational, they're more likely to vote in our favor.
You're exactly right. And, you know, when we left the last board meeting, I mean, we're giving each other hugs and going out to dinner. I mean, it was the other board members were saying, thank you very much. You've explained this to us. You've been very reasonable. This is good. I mean, so it's all of this stuff that's come out since.
Yeah.
Just to process check, are we going to get to like a decision point so we can get back into public session and, adjourn?
Yeah, I think we get to
we get to
words. Another 3 hours, but other than
I think we get to words. We're out in the public meeting. You authorize Rachel to continue down the path of working with Roy and me and in resolving things with Wolf Creek Irrigation Company as is appropriate or something.
Exactly. In doing that, it keeps everything attorney-client privileged.
Okay, so...
So is there a recommendation by this board on what to do?
You know, this is a rare opportunity for all of the board members to be on the line. I agree with Don's recommendation that we prepare the letter, that we have it shovel-ready, launch-ready, whatever. Check out this meeting on Thursday and then make decisions. Mark's points about, you know, needing to be less aggressive with Miranda. I mean, that's true. But at the end of the day, I think we just need to get her outvoted on this aggressiveness in her style.
But so, I think, Bob, I think that the problem is she has their ear. She's won victories for them, or at least in their perception, has won victories for them as a community. Absolutely. And if we come in with guns a-blazing and look like we're confrontational and somewhat irrational, that's going to lend
Mark,
more...
Mark, that's not our intention.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I just want to make sure this point is clear that, it's going to make her look like she is a rational party. And I think if we come in looking calm, open to discussion and willing to work through the issues, if she raises objections and starts to try to add additional caveats to the agreement, it's going to make her look like the unreasonable one.
So
yeah, and so just one last thing. I mean, to Mark's point, sending this you know, doing this other path of sending off this certified letter is, by its very definition, even if the certified letter is full of glitter and little tiny cutout hearts, it is still going to piss up people off and be conceived as confrontational. So, you know, I think we have to be really careful about this.
It protects the district. That's the whole point, I think. It preserves additional options. If they do amend their bylaws, makes it easier to point to a previous set of rules in effect. And it's just a simple negotiating point, you know? Let's get back into public meeting or have additional conversation, honestly.
So we're not taking the decision about this today. We're just gonna
think about it. No, we don't take decisions typically. Actual decisions in closed session.
Okay.
Okay. That's so. Are you two on the phone? Okay with that?
Yes.
Mark, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Great. Can I get a motion to close the closed session and go into a public hearing?
I move.
We're no open close open meeting. Yeah. We're gonna go back open.
Yeah.
I move okay. We do that.
We got Trustee Barrett moved to get out of closed and go back into open.
I second.
And Mark is the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carrie, are you ready to go back into public meeting?